You ever see that?
Yeah.
You got it. Okay. So last time we ended talking about the real David being Tehillim and how important Tehillim are and all that. But right now, why don't I get back to the narrative of David's life? He wants to build the Beit Hamikdash. So Sefer Shmuel, we got to the end of it after 11 years. Thank you for sticking with me for that. It ends with that scene where the Har HaBayit is revealed, that the angel pointing to the site, he buys the threshing floor of Arnon, and he builds a Mizbeach there. Last line of Sefer Shmuel, Vayivin Sham David Mizbeach Lashem, Vayal Olot Shamim, David builds an altar there, brings sacrifices, Vayatar Hashem La'aretz, and Hashem heard the prayers of the land, Yetzer Tzeatzar Magifah Me'al Yisrael, and the plague ends. That's the last line. Stops there. You know, it seems like we still have more story to go. And this is an opinion from Rabbi Chaim, I don't know how to pronounce Jachter, who has basically a book on Sefaria, which I thought was interesting, on Sefer Melachim. He's at some school in New Jersey. And this is his way he puts it. We suggest that Sefer Shmuel does not end with David HaMelech's death, since Sefer Shmuel's agenda is not to present the biography of David HaMelech, rather it concludes the story of David HaMelech's acquisition of Aravna the Yebusi's granary as a future site of the Beit HaMikdash, and its construction of Mizbeach on the site. Since the Sefer of Sefer Shmuel is, as we said, to describe the dramatic ascent of Am Yisrael from a splintered people with a problematic spiritual center to a people with a great leader ushering the dawn of the era of the Beit HaMikdash. And I would put it a little differently. Because they don't start Sefer Shmuel. If you remember the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, it doesn't start with a splintered people. Sefer Shmuel begins, it's actually striking if you think about it, with a united Israel.
That's to credit Shmuel
Let me I'm gonna close the doors here so I can actually hear. Give me a second. Right. Beginning of it is the story of Shmuel's birth and Chana praying and all that. But the first actual scene that shows the bigger picture of the country, that all the Bnei Yisrael are fighting as one nation. They're all together. Right. This actually is Perek Daled when you first start seeing they go to war against the Plishtim. This is source two. Vayehi Devar Shmuel Kol Yisrael. Shmuel is a navi for all of Israel. Vayetzei Yisrael Likrat Plishtim. And they, as a united army, go out to confront the Plishtim, lemilchama, in battle. Bechanuel Eben Ezer, and this is the Battle of Eben Ezer, Plishtim Chanu Be'efek, which is a striking difference from Sefer HaShoftim. Because we don't appreciate Eli, who's the Kohen Gadol in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. We don't appreciate him as a shofet. It says he who shofet Yisrael, who shofet Yisrael, Arba'im Shana. He was a shofet for 40 years. He led Israel. And we don't see anything that he did as a shofet. We focus on his failures as a Kohen Gadol. We know that. His son sinned. He was basically was the Kohen Gadol in the destruction of the Mishkan. But if you look at the difference between Israel at the end of Sefer Shoftim, when you've got this squabbling mess of independent tribes, where there's a civil war every other chapter, and the way they are at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, I think you have to credit Eli for that. But that's to be learned in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. We're not there. So
You're
Sefer
crediting
Shmuel is an...
Haley for what went wrong or what went right?
I'm sorry?
You're crediting Haley for what went wrong or what went right?
Yes. But most in this part, what I'm pointing out is that praying Eli for what went right. That to go
Oh.
from the end of Sefer Shoftim to the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, something happened there. You know, don't see it, but Eli is a shofet over United Israel, which didn't happen with any other shoftim. So that Sefer Shmuel is,
I thought Shmuel gets all the credit.
well, this is before Shmuel starts. This is Shmuel as a young kid who's, becoming a navi.
Yeah.
I don't think he can pull that initial battle. I mean, they lose the war against the Plishtim, but they're fighting it together. So I think the shape measure Sefer Shmuel is not how this, you know, the nation was all in these, you know, pieces and they come together. And saying it's the message of Sefer Shmuel as a whole is the story of what it means not to have a religious center, to not have a Mishkan, not to have a Mikdash, why it's so necessary. And that losing the Mishkan at the beginning leads to the splintering of the country. They lose the Mishkan, Plishtim take over half of it. Shmuel so tries to bring it together, then it falls apart under David and Ishbosheth, Shaul's son, and David's trying to putting it together. David rebuilds that country. That's the story. And he tries to make that permanent Beit HaMikdash that's going to hold it together. And it's the story of developing that, of how you create that society where a Beit HaMikdash is possible. The actual building is in the sequel. Let's say from Malachim, we'll see that. And so we end Sefer Shmuel with a little bit of the foreshadowing about the fault lines. We have the civil war between Binyamin and Yehuda. And so we kind of know where it's going there. And when you actually look at the sequel, you actually look at Sefer Melachim, it's not about building the Beit Midrash. That happens in the first four Prakim. The book itself is about how the nation splits apart and how that ends up destroying the Beit Midrash. That's a spoiler alert. You knew that was coming, right? So be that as it may, we're gonna. If you want to continue our story in the life of David, we have to look beyond Sefer Shmuel. So we're gonna look at Divrei Yamim. Divrei Yamim gives us the story of that first mizbeach that was building it. This is where the Beit Hamikdash is gonna be, and then tells the story of him getting ready to build it. So this is Divrei Yamim Perek Chaf Aleph. David builds the altar there. That's in the threshing floor of Arnon. And he offers sacrifices. This is a parallel to the pasuk we just saw. He prays to God. Until that's not in Shmuel, that he actually has a miracle. Fire comes down from heaven. Standard sign that your sacrifices have been accepted. Mizbech Allah comes down and burns up the offerings on the Mizbeach. God's accepted his offerings. Remember Hashem l'malach, and so Hashem speaks to this malach that's causing this plague, Vayashav Harbo el Nadna, and it puts the sword that was pointing at Yerushalayim, threatening Yerushalayim, puts it back in its scabbard. And at that moment, Birot David, Keneo Hashem, Begoron Arnon, Evusi. When David saw that Hashem had answered him, in this, the Goren Arnon, by his Baksham, and therefore he, because not so much that he did, he already offered sacrifices. By his Baksham meant that he did it from then on. This was now the place where they're going to offer Korbanot. Because next pasuk says, Mishkan Hashem, Asher Asa Moshe Mibar, because the actual Mishkan that Moshe had built, all those original parts, the original Mizbeach, the original Aaron, not the Aaron. The Aaron's still in Yerushalayim. The original menorah, the original shulchan, that and the mizbeach Allah Beit Ahi, and that and the mizbeach that they offered their daily sacrifices. They had a regular mishkan then. That was b'bamah b'Gibeon. That was on the hill in Gibeon. So the mishkan's in Gibeon. David's located this place. This is where he's going to offer sacrifice from now on. David didn't go there to give only Drosh Elokim to seek God. Because he had been afraid of the sword of the Malach and the message that he had, the sign that he had, that this is where the Mizbeach is going to be built. And so that's when David says, and the next parak, David, Zehu Beit Hashem Elokim. This is to be the house of God. I've wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash. I wasn't allowed to, but at least now I know where it's going to be. I can start getting ready. This is going to be where the Mizbeach is going to be.
So is that where it ended up being?
Yes.
Like a higher
So this Garden Arnon, the threshing floor of Arnon, is the modern Harabayit.
Okay.
Right? It was a place outside of Yerushalayim proper. Right? Ir David, it's outside of Ir David. And it was basically, it was a big open space on top of a hill. That's what you used for threshing, so you could catch the wind. But David said, that's it, we're gonna start building a building here. And the point that this makes is that it's the Mizbeach that's important. We tend to think that, what makes the Beit HaMikdash was the Kodesh Kodashim, the dome, what's the name of the rock in there? The rock of the Dome of the Rock. The Eben
Yeah.
Shetiyah.
The foundation
The
stone.
foundation stone, right. But that's not, according to the Rambam at least, that's not the key part. This is the way the Rambam puts it. It's Mizbeach, just like David says. Mizbeach, Mekomo Mechuvan Biyoter. Where the Mizbeach is, Beit HaMikdash, is precisely placed. It can never move. As it says, we quoted that here, Zemizbach lo'olal Yisrael. This is the place of Mizbeach. And in this place, the Mikdash Nekad Yisrael Avinu, it was the place of the Akedah, as it says, by Malechakal Eretz Moriah. We know that the Akedah happened in Eretz Moriah, and we're going to see in Divrei Yamim, Yerushalayim Bahara Moriah. That's the other name of this place. Same place as the Akedah. Asher Nirala David Avihu, that where David had the vision. Cherachim b'makom David b'goren Arnon, how you see on this threshing floor. That is Har HaMoriah. U'mesorah b'yarakol. Rama says it was a tradition. She'amakam shebana bo David u'shlomo mizbeach b'goren Arvana, same name. At this place where this mizbeach was built, u'amakom shebana bo Avraham mizbeach b'akara lev Yitzchak, it was a place, the Akedah, and this is the place where Noah built his Mizbeach. That's not explicit in the Torah, that's in the Mesorah, as he says, tradition. Who is Bashi Kriba Lev Kain Behevel? The original sacrifices that Kain Behevel brought, that was in this place. Kriv Adam Harishon, Korban. And that's where the Midrash says Adam brought Korbanot, and it was in this place. Misham Nivra, this is where man was created. Adam Makomo Kaparato Nivra, Adam was created in the place that he would eventually achieve forgiveness. And again, it's the Makom Mizbeach. The Heichal, the building, is simply placed in that area. David has this vision. He wants to build the Beit Midash. He's told this is where it's going to be. And he's already collected money for that. We've seen that since Perachet. All those wars, it said he put all the gold aside, put the silver aside, he wouldn't use it for his people. There are all those problems in there. But now we can start building the project in earnest. Now we can start actually getting to work. Now we see in Divrei Yamim that he starts providing the actual building materials as the next pasuk continues and says, Vayomer David, and David planned, he said he's going to lechnos et hageirim, to gather together the strangers. We'll have to see what that means. Asher Eretz Yisrael, who were throughout the country. Vayamud Chatzavim, and he hired carvers, Lachsov Avnei Gazit, to carve, cut stones, Livnot Beit HaElokim, to build this house. He's hiring the workers, Ubarzel Arav, the Mismarim, and getting all the iron together for all the nails, the Daltot for the doors, the Daltot HaSharim for the doors of the gates, and for anything, any other attachments, he prepares all that, gets all the iron together, and uncountable amounts of bronze he gets together as well, and uncountable numbers of cedar trees, because they brought him in from Lebanon, from Sidon and Tsor, who had already helped David build his palace. He buys cedar from them. I'd say Arazim, Larab, David. They brought all these cedar there. He's getting everything together. So the question here, who are these Gerim? Ayomer David, lechnos et ha-Gerim. Ayamor chatzavim, but that sounds independent. Like he gets wood carvers. I understand that part. Are the Gerim particularly good at being wood carvers? Not clear at all, rather. So what is it? Vayomer David lechnos. David planned on gathering together. So the Rabbag says that this is a callback to the story of the famine in the Gibeonim. Remember that? There was a famine for 3 years.
That's the one about the people that we said we were going to take in, and then we mistreated them.
Right. They're the ones that basically lied to Yeshua way back when, and they were set aside as they were Chutzvei Itzim, Tovei Mayim, where they worked for the Mishkan. And then Shaul wiped out the Mishkan and Nov, dispersed them, they were being abused. And then when there was a famine in Perek Chaf Aleph, Hashem says, you need to right this wrong. You have to restore the justice to the Gibeonim. And we said that David restored the Gibeonim to their role in the Mikdash. That's from Pasuk in Ezra. That's in Minad Tinim, which is the Gibeonim, Natan David, that David had set Basarim, that David and his officers set aside, Labodat HaLevim, to help with the Levim, Nitinim, Matayim, Vesrim, that's the number that came back with Ezra. So that Ralbach says that the Nitinim, the Gibeonim, are the Gerim here. That's what he's doing. He's saying, okay, we're going to bring you back. We know we did this wrong. We're going to bring you back to work in the Mikdash. That's Rabbi Bayomer, David Lechnoza Gedegerim. So David wants to bring all the Gerim together. We already explained. He Shaul Hishmid to Gibonim. Shaul had wiped out the Gibonim, Mitase, Bechol, Beugul, Yisrael. They had no place to settle in all of Israel. David Heshivam, so David brings them back, Bechino, Tam, Lasot, Mashet, Zerich, to help, and they would work on doing what was necessary, Lubinyan Beit Midash. So that's David's act of Mishpat, bringing the Gibeonim back. So when did this all happen? When did David build this Mishkan, build this Mizbeach rather, start working on the Beit Midash in earnest? It doesn't say. We talked about the Gemara and Sukkah, about building the digging the foundations of the Mizbeach. And the whole thing about the flood and the connection with Shira Malot. And over there, Achitofel is one of the characters. So we assume it's before Avshalom's rebellion. Achitofel is Avshalom's advisor. He's gonna be dead by the end of the rebellion. So I'm gonna review my chronology. This is my headcanon. I use that term. This is the way I think things worked out in terms of the chronology. And it's the whole story. It starts out when we first meet David, when he's anointed at age 25, kills Goliath at 26. Destruction of Nov is when David is 27. That's when David and Shmuel meet together for the first and last time, and they plan the Beit HaMikdash. David becomes king in Hebron at age 30. He becomes king in Yerushalayim at age 37, over all Israel. Finds out he's not going to build the Beit HaMikdash when he's 40 years old. Then we have all the wars that, okay, I can't build the Beit HaMikdash. Let me at least get the money. He goes to war with nations around them, founds the empire. And we have the story of the Gibeonim. He's 48. 2 years later is the Bat Sheva story, the way I would put those together. Then the census and the plague and the revelation, the site, what we're looking at here, this building of the Beit HaMikdash, starts when he's 54. So really it's going on simultaneous with the whole stories in Shmuel Bet, the rape of Tamar, murder of Amnon, Avshalom's rebellion, are all happening after this point. David really wants to build the Beit HaMikdash, but all these other things are happening as a consequence of the Bat Sheva story. And that goes on really until he's 70 years old. That's when David dies. So this revelation, the site of the Beit HaMikdash, I would say was 16 years before. So he's been doing this for 16 years while everything else is going on. And then the way I would look at this together, I would say that Shlomo is born when he's 58. Shlomo was 12 years old when he becomes king. And I know, Rabbi.
Was David alive when he became king or no?
I'm sorry?
Was David alive when he became king?
Well, they overlap. David officially makes him king. He's crowned king by David.
Okay.
You know, but he's designated as king. He kind of know. I mean, they know that. That's the whole story in the beginning of Sefer Melachim, where Adonijah says, "I want to become king," and David says, and Bathsheba says, "No, nothing to manipulate that."
No, I just say it because you have 58 was the birth of Shlomo, and then 70 David died, so that's when he'd be 12.
Right. That's exactly right. So when David dies is when Shlomo becomes king.
Wow.
But there's an overlap there, because David officially makes him king. There's a whole crowning ceremony while David's still alive. Just to
That's
make
pretty
the point.
dramatic. He becomes king, and then the dad dies immediately.
Well, it's the other way around. He knows his dad's gonna die. That's why he becomes king. I mean, he is the designated heir.
Yeah.
But David's other sons are arguing about that. So David has to say, "You're going to become king." Yeah, so he's 12. But he's tough. And so he starts building the Beit HaMikdash, or not build, he doesn't build it. He's working on it in earnest at age 54. At age 58, he has the son. And he needs this son. Right, it's got to be this one. It's not any other ones. All the other ones have been born earlier, back in Hebron. The nevuah that he had about building the Beit Midash, from way back from Perek Zion, that Natan tells him, "You're not going to build it. Your son will do it." But the words are in Source 9: "Yimlu emecha, when you live to a ripe old age, and you will lie with your ancestors, zarecha, and I will establish your descendants who will come after you." I say, "Yetzei mimeyacha," and that's the key phrase: who will come from your loins, not the ones who are already born. The ones who are already born don't count. It's another son. I think that's why he cares so much about Shlomo and about Bathsheba's son, because that's the first child he has in Yerushalayim, because he knows that it's going to be one of those who are born later, and that child, bachinoti et mamlachto, and that child will have his kingdom established. So that when Bathsheba finally has a child who survives, we know the first one dies. We know that, at least according to Divrei Yamim, other children were born but did not survive. Then we have Vayinacham David et Bathsheba ishto. David consoles Bathsheba. When Nachem makes her changes her mind. Vayishkav lies with her. Vatilet ben, and she has a child. Vatikra et Shemo Shlomo. And this child is Shlomo. Hashem Ahevo, and this one Hashem loves, he survives. Vayishlach bi Natan Navi, and Hashem sends the Navi, Vayikra Shmo Yedidiah. And Hashem says, "This child is going to be Yedidiah, who's my grandson, good name, the beloved of God, literally, Bavur Hashem, this is for sake of God. This child Shlomo is going to be the child who will inherit from David. This is the one who will build the Beit HaMikdash." And so Divrayim skips from right at when he's 54, he's about to start working on the Beit Midash. He's getting all the bronze, the iron, he's getting all the wood together, and then skips ahead to the year that David dies. David is 69. He dies on his 70th birthday, 69 years old. Vayomer David, and David says, "Shlomo b'ni, my son Shlomo, na'ar barach." He's a little kid. He's tender. He's only 11 years old. But I'm getting close to death, and we need to plan this out. And this building that needs to be built for God, like deal to be great, like deal lamala, to be overwhelmingly great, the shame was yiferet, be fame, be famous, be beautiful, the chol ha'artzot, it will be a symbol to all the land. That's the point of Beit HaMikdash. Be a symbol to all the other nations. Achinanallah, I need to get this ready for him. David la'rov lifnei mato. So David get whatever he could get together, put it together, get it prepared. Shlomo, and then he calls to Shlomo by livnot by Hashem Israel. He commands him, "You need to build this house for God." And what follows in Divrei Yamim is David's will, his legacy, the one he wants to give to his son. And it's not the legacy of the state, right? That's the kingdom of Israel. That's the Malchut. That's a separate part. That's the story of Perek Aleph. What he's giving now is an ethical will. And Dan, your computer video is getting a little footsie. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay.
I could just turn it off. That's
no, it's not. It's fine, as long as you're there. So what's an ethical will? Unlike legal wills, ethical wills, also known as legacy letters, are not written by lawyers, but by you. They include life lessons, values, blessings, and hopes for the future. Apologies to those you fear you may have hurt, or gratitude to those you think you have not thanked enough. That's what an ethical will is. I guess you can also have an ethical will where you say mean things about people you really couldn't in real life. That's a poor form. So what's David's ethical will to Shlomo? Ayoma David to Shlomo. David tells Shlomo. Bini, ani hayiti hayayim levavi livnot bayit lashem, l'shem Hashem Elokai. I had intended, it was in my heart, to build this house for God. And God told me, you have spilt much blood, and you have made many wars. You will not build this house in my name. Because you've spilled all this blood before me. Again, this is David telling the story to Shlomo. You will have a son. He will be a man of peace, and I will give him rest from his enemies around him. His name will be Shlomo, and I will give Shalom, right? Shlomo, man of peace. I will give peace and quiet all Yisrael b'amav in Israel during his days. He will build this house for me. He will be my son. Not your son, this will be mine. And I will be his father. And I will set his throne on Israel forever. That's David telling Shlomo what happened. Atabini, now, my son, may God be with you. Itzlachta, and you may be successful. And maybe you be the one that God spoke about, will build this house for God. May God give you wisdom, will be non understanding, Yisrael, and may He give you command over Israel, and you need to keep the Torah. That's one of the conditions. Then you will be successful. If you are careful and you do it, if you keep all these commandments, all these laws that Moshe commanded, then you'll be successful, be able to do this. Chazak v'ametz, be strong, be powerful. Al tira, do not be afraid. Al techat, do not be afraid. Do not fear anyone. Binei b'anyi, and look, in my poverty, achanuti levet Hashem zahav, I set aside for this house of God, I have set aside gold, kikarim me'a elef, 100,000 kikar of gold, the kesef aleph alafim, and 1,000,000 kikarim of silver, the nachosha brazel and mishkal, and countless amounts of bronze and iron. Kirav kilarav haya, because I've got, like, we got lots. You should be fine. Beitzim vavanim machinoti, and I got the wood, and I have the stone as well. Alhem tosif, and you can add as much as you need on top of that. Vimcholarav, and I and here with you, you have many osei melacha, people who can work, kotzvim, carvers, v'chorshei evan, v'etz, cutters of wood and stone, kol chacham b'chol melacha, and all experts in all sorts of work. I've got it all prepared for you. This is set. Zahav v'chesem, v'choshu, brazel, mispar, and gold, silver, bronze, iron, infinite amounts. Kum v'asei, yivishem imach. Go, do it. May God be with you. That's his ethical goal. So we've talked about this Dam L'Rov Shafachta. Why didn't David build the Beit Midash? Well, how did he see it? We've talked about that many times, what that means in the context of building the Beit Midash, a place of peace. I'm not going to go through that again. But the part afterwards, when it says Atabini, it says, now this is what you need to listen to. This is charge to Shlomo. And there are three messages. Keep the Torah. We get that. Chazak v'amatz. And build the Beit Midash, which I've gotten everything already ready for you. And the words here are very similar to what Hashem tells Yeshua. And Yeshua is about to take over Bnei Israel, bring them into the land, and we'll go and look through those words as well. This is the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. Vayechare Moshe Eved Hashem was after Moshe died. Vim Hashem al Yeshua bin Nun. Mesharet Moshe Lamar. And Hashem spoke to Yeshua, who had been the servant of Moshe. Moshe Avdimit. Moshe has died. Vata, same Ata. Now, Kum, Avor to Yordan, Hazeh, you need to cross the Jordan. Atavachol Mazeh, you and all the people. El Arz Asher Nochino Ten Lahem, the land I'm giving you, Ibn Israel, to all of Israel. Kol Makom Asher Tidroch Kaf Lachem, Bo Lachem Tativ, any place where you set foot, it belongs to you. Asher Dibarti Moshe, as I told Moshe. Me'amidbar V'lebanon Hazeh, from the wilderness, the desert in the south, to Lebanon in the north, Anahar Gadol, Nahar Prat, all the way up to Euphrates, Kol Eretz Achitim, the lands of the Hittites, Ayam Gadol, to the Mediterranean, Mevor Hashemesh, to the west, Yeg Vulchem, that will be your border. Yitzchak said, Ish Lefnecha Kol Mechayecha, no one will stand against you all the days of your life. Asher Yiti Im Moshe, Ayeh Imach, I will be with you like I was with Moshe, Lo Arpacha, Lo Azbeka, I will not abandon you. Chazak B'yamatz, same term. Be strong, be powerful. Because I will cause you to you are yours. I will allow you to cause the Bnei Israel to inherit them, this land that I promised their ancestors. Rach chazak b'yamatz.
Again, isn't Tanchil to settle?
Tanchil is from Nachala.
So I thought that was like settlement.
I think directly means settle. It means to own as a nachala. I mean, you can say that's settling. Or in this sense, to give over as a nachala.
Okay.
Rachazak v'amatz. Now you need to be really strong. Real, very strong, right? The Shemor l'asot kol Torah. You need to keep the Torah. Just like David tells Shlomo, Shetzivcha Moshe Abdi, Just as Moshe commanded you, don't turn left or right. Laman taskil, so that you can be successful, choloshar to like in everything you do. Lo yimush sefer haTorah zeh mipicha, the words of the Torah will not leave your mouth. Gita bo yomam balayla, and you will think about them day and night. Laman tishmor lasot, so you should be careful and do kol hakatuv bo, everything that's written in it. Ki az tasliyah, because then you'll be successful at darchad where you go, va'az taskil, and then you will achieve what you're trying to do. Again, very similar words. Hello, Sivitiyecha. I have commanded you. Chazak v'yamatz. Again, be strong. Al tarotz v'al techatz. Do not be afraid. Yimcha Hashem alkecha b'chol shetilech, because God is with you in everything you do. Again, the three messages. Keep the Torah, chazak v'yamatz, and conquer Eretz Yisrael, for which I, God, have gotten everything ready. Very parallel to what David is telling Shlomo. And Abarbanel points out that there are three chazak v'yamatzes in Yeshua's story. Because there are three areas where Yeshua needs to be strong. And these are Abarbanel. Achshol v'feresh ha'psukim. I am going to explain these psukim. She'tziva kel yiparach Yeshua. That Hashem commanded Yeshua. She'tchazek v'shlosha yanim. There are three areas of chazak v'yamatz. Echad k'neged ha'am. The first is you need to lead the people. When you're leading them, what they need to hear, don't be afraid of anyone. You have to be a shofet, you have to judge them, you have to be a melech. Because there are going to be lots of arguments when you try to divide the land up. Everyone's going to be arguing. You're going to be the one in charge. That's Italian. You're going to need a lot of strength in order to lead the people. Ki hu yanchil lahem at aretz, that's the part of chazak v'yamatz, because you are going to yanchil, you're going to lead them into their inheritance. Zeh yistarich chazak chozek b'mitzrav. Achozek hasheni, the second area that needs strength, k'neged hakel, yiparach, is dealing with Hashem. Zeh shlo yimshach acharei tavatav, that you shouldn't do whatever you want. You need to keep the Torah. That needs chizik as well. You have to conquer your own yetzer, your own inclination. Kize migoda haometz, as it says, because that's what real strength is. Ezu hagibor hakoveshi yitzro. That's what strength is. Zemar b'chozak hashini b'chazak b'yamatz. You need to be very strong to keep the words of the Torah. B'chozak hashlishi hu k'neged ha'oyvim. And the third area you need to be strong is you're going to be leading them into battle. You need to lead the battle. You need to be strong as a military leader. You need to be strong. I've already commanded you this. You know you're leading them. So the parallel is just that Yeshua is going to be the Melech, lead the people in this new phase as they enter the land. Shlomo is going to be leading the people in this new phase. They're going to be an Or L'Gayim. The point of the Beit HaMikdash is to be the shameless Yifrat L'chol HaRatzot. You need to take Israel into a whole new level. And you need the same chizuk. You need to be chazak and be a melech. You have to be a judge. You have to make hard choices. And we talked about that in the context of David himself, where it says, David Omer, I David Oseh Mishpatu Tzaka. Justice, charity. And the Gemara's problem there is justice is incompatible with charity. Everyone's got to be treated the same. And if you're trying to be give charity to people, then you're not being just. It's a hard problem. There are no easy answers. That requires chazak v'yematz. And the second one is chazak v'yematz and serving Hashem. It's power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's very easy as a melech to figure the laws don't apply to me. And in fact, that's where Shlomo is going to fail. But the Torah says about the Melech, about the king, he needs to keep the Torah with him so that he won't get haughty. The Romavo Me'achav be haughtier than his brethren. So that he doesn't turn from this commandment left or right or left. Hashem told Yeshua. So that's the only way that his reign can last, Hu Banav, and his dynasty will spread to his children as well, but care of Yisrael and Israel. So it's got to be Chazak V'yematz about keeping the Torah, about doing justice. And the third Chazak V'yematz is about being a military leader, which isn't really relevant to Shlomo, because he's been promised there won't be wars in his time. There'll be peace. Hashem will keep the peace. Shlomo has to be Chazak V'yematz in dealing with the people. That's David's ethical will to Shlomo. Be strong, keep the words of God, and you will be able to build this, the Beit HaMikdash. And if you give me a second, I have to let the dog out of this room because he's looking at me with sad puppy dog eyes. Sorry. And that's not the only ethical will that David leaves Shlomo. We have a bunch of different places in Tanakh where David tells Shlomo kind of these moral things. One of them is in Perek Kaf Chet of Dira Yamin, where David basically is presenting Shlomo to the entire people. There's this huge ceremony about how he says, I am planning to build the Beit Midash. Shlomo will be your king. And then David says to Shlomo in front of everyone, Ayomer David Shlomo, but no, David tells Shlomo, Chazak v'yamatz, same phrase, you need to be strong. I say and do this, Al tiravi al techa, do not be afraid. Yeshem elokim elke amcha, imcha, no amcha, right? Because God is God of your people, lo yapracha lo yizveka, will not abandon you. Adachalokom lachan avadat beit Hashem, will not abandon you until you finish all the work of building this house, the house of God. Here we've organized all the Kohanim, Balavim, we've organized Levim, they're all set aside for everything that needs to be done for the Beit Midash. You have everyone to do the work, everyone who understands the Chol Avodah, they do everything, Vasarim, all the leaders of the people, all the people are there, L'chol Devarecha, they're all waiting for your word. Right, that's his ethical will, that you will build the Beit HaMikdash. The people are there waiting to help you. And there are two similar ethical wills in Tehillim. We've dealt with them before. I'm not going to go in detail. First is Perek Ayin Bet. It's Lishlomo, dedicated literally to Shlomo. Elokim Mishpatecha LaMelachten. God, give your justice to the king. Vitzitacha LeBen Melech, and give your righteousness to the prince. So that's what it means to be a king. You need to be doing Mishpat. Yedin Im Amcha V'Tzedek. May he judge your people in justice. And Yecha V'Mishpat, and the poor with justice. I think we did over there in this shir for the details on what these means. But Yisu Arim Shalom La'am, and then the very hills will bring peace to the people. That's where they'll establish the Shalom. V'ot Pitzdaka, and this charity from all the hills. Once they could, if the people, if the king is judging the Mishpat, then the nation will be in peace. Same message as what he was quoted in Divrei Yamim, but more poetic, it's Tehillim. And similarly, Perek Kuf Chaf Zayin, the Shira Malot, the Shlomo, specifically for Shlomo, Im Hashem lo yivne bayit, shav amalo banova. If God doesn't build the house, then all your work is for naught. Im Hashem lo yishmar ir, if God isn't guarding the city, shav shokei shomer, then all the watchmen there are working for nothing. We need to have Hashem helping us. Shav l'chol mashkimei kum, that everyone who wakes up early, they're doing it for no reason. If God isn't with them, they won't be successful. Me'acharei shevet, those who they stay up late working, is still not going to help. Ochle lecha matzavim, who eat literally the bread of sadness. Minimize what they're eating because they're working so hard. It's not going to help. That God will give those whom he loves, he will give rest. We need Hashem. That's to summarize the reason why we care about Beit Midrash. Because it's not about having a pretty building. If it's about having a big building, you could just build it. But David's point is that it's only a symbol. Okay, you can only build the Beit Midrash if it's true that Yadin Amcha B'Tzedek. We have justice for the people, and Yechav B'Mishpat, the poor have justice. Without Hashem's approval, it means nothing. Hashem lo yivne bayit, shava malo banavo. If God isn't the one building it, then everyone's working for no reason. So that's David's message in Divrei Yamin. Again, really the ethics that you need to be good. But there's another ethical will in Sefer Melachim. This is the Haftorah for Parshat Vayechi. And given the time, I'm going to read through it, but I think we're going to just have to finish it. We're going to deal with it next time. Vayikru Yimei David Lamut. So this is Melachim parallel to the Divrei Yamim. And David was getting close to dying. Vayitzav Shlomo Beno Lemar. And he gives a commandment, gives a tzava, a will, to Shlomo his son, and says, Anochi holech b'derach kol ha'aretz. I am going the way of all flesh. Chazakta v'yitol ish. You need to be strong. Be a man. V'shamarta mishmarta Hashem elokecha. And you need to keep the commandments of God. Alech b'drachav, go in his way. L'shmarcha v'tav m'svatav, v'mishpatav v'edotav. Keep the laws, the statutes, etc. Karatu b'torah Moshe, as is written in the Torah of Moshe. Same thing he said before. Leman taskil, so that you can be successful at kol asher taseh and everything you do, but kol asher tifne Hashem and everything you will turn to. Leman akim Hashem et baro, so that if you keep the Torah, Hashem will keep His word. Asher diber elai, that He did, that Hashem promised to me. Leimor imishmerina banecha et darkam, if your children keep the ways, lech lefanai be'emet, that they go before me in truth. V'chol v'avam, v'chol nafsham, with all their heart and soul. Le'mor lo yikarit la'ish me'al kisei Yisrael. And then never will anyone be cut off from the, none of your descendants will be cut off from the throne of Israel. Keep the Torah. So that's the same message. Keep the Torah, chazak tabi'el ta'ish, which is parallel to chazak tiamatz. Then he continues. Gama tayadata, you know, at the Asher Asali Yoav ben Tsruya. You know what Yoav, son of Tsruya, my sister, did Asher asal l'shnei saretz v'ol Yisrael, that what he did to two of the generals, the leaders of the armies of Israel, Avner ben Ner, Amasa ben Yeter. V'yargem, and he killed, and Yoav killed them. V'yasem demei milchama b'shalom, and pay back peace with the blood of war. Yitain demei milchama b'charag. Bachagarto, Asher Matnav, and he left his blood of war on his belt. Uven Alo Asher Baglov is on his shoes. Vasita Kal Chochmatecha. And so now you do according to your wisdom. You're a smart boy. Lo Tered Sevato B'Shalom Sheol, and do not let his gray head go down to the grave in peace. Bnei Barzillai Gidaldi, and to the sons of Barzillai from the Gilad, Taseh Chesed, you should do good things. They should be guests at your table. Because they supported me. Because they supported me when I was on the run from Absalom, your brother. And with you, and part of your group, is Shimi ben Gera, Benyamini from Benyamin, Bibachurim, from the city of Bachurim. He cursed me, terrible curses. Yom lechti machanayim, when I ran away to Machanayim. We are rad likrati yarden, and then he came down to greet me in the Jordan. Veshbalah, and I swore to him, Bashem, I swore by God, Limor imam itcha b'charav, that I would not kill him by the sword. Vata, now, this Shimi ben Gera, that I swore I won't kill. Al tenikeu, do not consider him innocent, ki eish chacham ata, because you're a smart man. Yadata shetesalo, you'll figure out what to do with him. You will bring his gray head in down to the grave in blood. So three messages. Keep the Torah, chazak tavit ish, and reward my enemies and reward my friends, kill my enemies. So it seems very petty. My Yedid Am Chavetz Tzedek is wonderful. That belongs in Tanakh. This is just wreak revenge for me. So we have to unpack this and go through the history here. Like I said, I think I'm going to stop here and we'll continue on next time.
Thanks, Danny.
Okay, any questions?
I figure these guys that he wants him to kill are people he should have killed, but he didn't get around to it.
That's one way to look at it. We'll have to look at them in detail there. And why didn't he? Right? I mean, specifically, we have Shimon ben Gera where he says, well, look at that. He swore he wouldn't kill him.
Because there was some of them were the sister's kid, no?
Yoav right. So Yoav ben Tzruya is his nephew.
Yeah. Right? That's we his just sister. Talked about that in Rabbi Shulman's class.
Yeah. He's
going a lot into that right now, Yoav.
Right. Right. Yoav's an interesting character. I think I have a slightly different perspective than he does.
Okay.
Great. We love different perspectives.
Well, that's kind of intentional because figure if you want Rabbi Shulman's perspective, you should listen to Rabbi Shulman. So I do my best to try to figure out where he's going to go and go in some other direction.
Cool.
Sounds good.
That takes a lot of thought. Yeah.
Okay.